and I might say that we might as well hear from all the candidates, and I hope that you'll stay tuned and hear what these gentlemen have to say. Mr. Jules Levin is the candidate for the Socialist Labor Party. Mr. Peter Camejo is the candidate for the Socialist Workers' Party. We'll hear first from Mr. Levin, and then in the second half of the program from Mr. Camejo. And as I say, I hope you'll stay tuned, because these two men are, after all, running for the highest office of the land, and maybe we ought to hear, in fact, I think we ought to hear what they have to say. Here is Mr. Peter Camejo, who is the presidential candidate for the Socialist Workers. It was a bicentennial hotel last week. Now it's a Showplace hotel. Presidential candidate for the Socialist Workers Party. Mr. Camejo has been a member of the Socialist Workers Party since 1959. He was a founding member of this country's biggest socialist youth organization, the Young Socialist Alliance. That took place in 1960. On July 26, Mr. Camejo filed a complaint with the FCC to allow his party equal time on this program in response to an appearance by Gus Hall. He recently won this case for his party, for the Socialist Labor Party, and also for the U.S. Labor Party, which will be on, I guess, sometime next week. So we're going to have everybody on, thanks to Peter Camejo. Welcome, sir.
Welcome. How are you, Tom?
I guess, like I said to Mr. Levin, I'm not good at this, you know, because I know that you have certain things that you want to say, and I want you to have every possible opportunity. So if you want to structure this by starting where you want to start, it's fine with me. Or you want to start by telling us what you want that Ford and Carter and Jules Levin and Gus Hall don't want, whatever you want to do.
Well, I think the starting point, really, in politics in this country, in this election, is the fact that I think most Americans are extremely nervous, if not wondering, about whether there is any difference between Mr. Ford and Mr. Carter, any basic difference. After watching the debates and listening to them, they both agree on spending over $100 billion on war. Mm-hmm. They both are against the women's right to abortion. They're both against busing. I mean, point after point. I mean, like, I personally feel that abortion is a women's right, that Carter and Ford, it's none of their business. They can't have an abortion, you know, Tom, if they want it once.
Well, I don't think they have anything to say on this. I think
you're right. I think they're allowed to feel for themselves that they wouldn't want to do it, but they're not allowed, I don't think, to dictate their beliefs to other people.
That's exactly right. Okay, right, that's correct. And that's what the majority believe in this country, and I'm running saying that women have the right to abortion. These two men are running saying they're going to do everything possible to limit women's rights. Let's take the fact that right now black people make 56% the income of whites. And this, by the way, is 5% worse than it was in 1970. Now, they had a debate for an hour and a half on domestic issues, and neither Carter or Ford ever mentioned blacks. They just didn't exist.
Well, they didn't mention any issues at all in that first debate.
That's right. And so this was supposed to be a debate. Now, I think what we need in the United States is to take up these issues, the question of unemployment, of inflation. We're making 6% wages less now than we were in 1972. There are 8 million people unemployed, 26 million living in poverty. In a country that produces one-third of the wealth of the world, we have only 5.5% of the population of the world. Now, why? Why? Why is this the case? Why can't we give everybody a job? This is the question most Americans are asking. Carter and Ford got up there, they gave us no answer. They talked for an hour and a half, and the only program that was proposed was one that would provide 300,000 jobs. Now, I say the reason is the corporations, the Democrats and Republicans, are representing the corporations and putting profits before human needs. Carter and Ford both supported the war in Vietnam. They both defended Nixon during Watergate. In fact, most people don't know this. Carter himself had a special unit in his campaign in 1970 called a think tank to carry out Watergating. He actually got a picture of his opponent, Governor Sanders, standing next to two blacks and mailed it out to the
basketball players.
That's
pouring champagne over his head.
Exactly.
I had him here one night and confronted him with that, and he denied having any knowledge of that photograph being sent out. He claimed it was published in the newspapers, and he had no such thing as a stink tank. That's
right.
What Dan said here.
That's right. That's what he says. He also secretly financed the third... Well, And when he was on the school board in Plains, Georgia, he made a motion to have a black school move just so that white children wouldn't have to see blacks on the way to school. Now, that's in the minutes of the school board. He can't rewrite history on that. He ran with Lester Maddox, said he was extremely proud. Now, everybody knows who Lester Maddox is, the man with the axe handle.
Mm-hmm. We've had him here, too.
Well, Carter said he was very proud to run with him. He ran under the slogan, "I'll bring George Wallace to Georgia." Is he going to deny all that? Is he going to deny that he pays $2.30 at his factory, non-union shop, where whites make more than blacks? In fact, we've published an entire, I'll show you here, so people can see it for themselves. We've published an entire fact sheet on Jimmy Carter, which has all these facts, including how Lockheed gave him free trips, all this information. Now, why isn't this information available to the average person, you know?
Mm-hmm. You think President Ford would like to have this information?
Now, let me tell you why he doesn't do that. The reason President Ford doesn't write, take this back, the Republicans could. They could send out 130 million. Every single American would read the true history of what Jimmy Carter has done. his Watergating, his pro-war Vietnam stand, his anti-labor stand, his anti-black stand. But then a very simple thing would happen. The Democrats would put one out on Ford. Nobody would vote for Carter or Ford. I'd be the next president. That's what it would do. Now, I'd like to say for people listening tonight that if they write to us at 14 Charles Lane, later on I'm going to do a little socialist ad here, but just to get it in now, if you'd like a copy of this free, write to us at 14 Charles Lane Street and 14 Charles Lane, New York City, and we'll send you a free copy of this as well as some other materials.
But I'd like to not write. I'd like to just have one before you
leave.
Well,
I'll give one to you right now, Tom.
Fantastic.
Here.
Thank you, sir.
So that you can check it out. I'll tell you one other thing, talking about Carter, is Carter agreed to debate me before he agreed to debate Ford. And it's been absolutely amazing how the media has tried to avoid racing this, including your channel, NBC. I offered this news story. ABC actually filmed my whole correspondence with Carter. They did a special thing, and then they killed the story. I have here another little thing to show everybody, which is the original letter from Jimmy Carter's campaign committee agreeing to debate me before he agreed to debate Ford. But he won't, you know, well, Carter doesn't lie. You know that. I mean, you can ask him. In fact, you don't have to ask him. He'll
Could I see what that says, sir? It's signed by Jody Powell.
Jody Powell's in charge of the debates. This was way back in February. But he just will not live up to this agreement because I think they're scared to debate socialists because I think they're scared to have to take up the real issues facing this country, both local and international.
Let me ask you about socialism here. Is the kind of socialism that you're talking about the same kind of socialism that Mr. Levin was out here talking about, or is it different? You know, I'm nervous stockholders. And I don't know. I think I own 39 shares of stock in Westinghouse, which is not doing too well. But people that own a lot of stock would not want to become workers. You know how they get. They want to keep their stock. You know what I mean? So I want to know if you have that kind of an idea of whether it be a president or a ruling party or what.
Well, I think we need democracy. I frankly think that we should have elected councils in factories, so people who work in factories should have some say about what's happening there. I think we should produce for human needs, not profits. I think this is the problem. Today we have 8 million people unemployed because no rich person can make any money off them, so they won't hire them. That's the only reason. The fact is that when you go and apply for a job, there's only one reason they hire you. You're going to produce more than what they're going to pay you. They won't hire you. So the only right we have as working people is to go around from corporation to corporation and say, excuse me, are you exploiting today? I mean, that's it. And if 8 million people, they can't find a job for them, so they just tell them you can't work. I think that's inhuman.
So you really are not a socialist, or are you a socialist?
I'm a socialist. Of course we're socialists. I said we want to put human needs before profits. We want to see a democratically run planned economy. I don't believe that a person should be allowed to. Let's take the city of New York.
Okay.
Rockefeller, when he was born, had more money than everybody working in this studio, including you, will have in your whole life.
You might say when his father got a gleam in his eye, his future was assured, right?
And the original Rockefeller got it by stealing it, if anybody wants to read it. Now, he went to become the Vice President of the United States, and they asked him the question there in the Senate. They said, how much money do you have? Remember that when they questioned him? Now, if I asked the listening audience, if I asked you, how much money do you have, you can tell me within $1 million.
They had him up, can I ever?
They had him up there for 2 weeks. He said 20 million. They said to him, come on, Nelson, who's going to believe 20 million, you know? After 2 weeks, he was at 400 million, and he was just starting to warm up.
Well,
right?
He was getting good interest on the money while he was going along.
Yeah, his lawyer says he misunderstood the first question. He thought he'd asked him how much he had on him. But anyway, when they asked him, what do you do with your money? He says, I don't do anything with it. He says, I hire people to run it. Now, what do those people do? They invest it. On what criteria? One criteria.
How much can we make?
What's the best for Nelson Rockefeller to make money? But when they're investing it, Tom, they're deciding whether you and I are going to have a job, whether there'll be pollution, what will be produced. I say that's wrong. I say let's have democracy. Let's have a democratic elected economic council in this country made up of the people that work in this country. We would never vote for inflation or unemployment. We would never vote for the war in Vietnam. They went over there, and the Democrats, Republicans, Carter and Ford, supported that war right down the line. Got 50,000 American youth killed, hundreds of thousands of millions of Vietnamese killed, and they get on television and have a foreign policy debate, and what do they both say? How they're going to keep Vietnam out of the United Nations. I say that was obscene, absolutely obscene. We do this to these people, never attacked us, never done a thing to us. Tell them we're going to keep them out of the United Nations? I think they should be having discussion in the United Nations of keeping Carter and Ford out of it. People who supported a war that genocide. Carter even called a special holiday down there in Georgia, state holiday in support of Cali, when he was on trial for mass murder. Now, I don't think that this is what the American people want. I think the majority of the American people, I started to talk about New York City. I got carried away.
Well, I want to get to New York City, but when...
Well, I wanted to
When you take over, are we going to have the television companies with the commercials on, or will there not be any?
Well, I think if the people who work here at NBC could democratically have elected committees and discuss what programs are going to be shown on NBC, NBC would be a lot better.
Oh, I...
That's what we figure.
We have a committee up there that decides what's going to
be
on.
You have a board, and how you get on that board is you're born. I mean, let's face it. You don't work your way up. You don't become a janitor, and then you become a cameraman, and then someday you're on the board and you decide what...
Can I tell you something, though, that's interesting when you stop and think about it? Now, Bob Howard, who is the president of the NBC television network, started work at this company as a page many years ago. Julian Goodman, who is the chairman of the board of a national broadcasting company, started as a news writer in Washington, D.C. many years ago.
These stories are told all over the country on one premise. These are the exceptions. This is the one out of a hundred that happens to one.
Why do you think you're the presidential candidate of your party? You must be an exception of some kind.
No, I just work for a living like anybody else, and we believe that all elected officers throughout this country should get no more pay than an average worker. A lot of them would drop out of the elections if that were the case. We think the trade union leaders should only be paid any more than an average worker. In my opinion, by the way, the most important election taking place in the United States at this moment is not the election for president. Because whether Carter or Ford gets in there, it's not going to make any difference. The most important election taking place is in the Steelworkers Union, where Ed Zelowski is leading a new rebellion of young workers and older workers too, black and white, to fight to put the unions back in the hands of the workers. Because what I think is going to happen in this country, Tom, is this vacuum of the 70 million people who aren't going to vote, of the 80% who didn't vote in the primaries, they're sick of the Democrats and Republicans. After Vietnam, Watergate, and this economic crisis, they're sick of them. I found that out. I've campaigned in the streets, on unemployment lines, in the factories. What people, I think, want in this country, and what they will support, is if we form a new party, a new mass party of labor, of working people. But I think the unions won't do that until we get people in the unions that really represent the interests of working people.
I think what you say is partly right. I think that what most people in this country are fed up with is the baloney that both the major political parties have been slicing up now for the past, ever since the end of World War II, really. Listen, I have to get these commercials on, otherwise we're going to get behind on time and you're going to be unhappy and we'll get another lawsuit or something. I don't want that. We'll be right back with Mr. Peter Kamel after these messages. Now, as Peter was saying, you take New York City.
Yes, I was saying, I said it three times. Well, look, in New York, they've cut back education, closed down schools, hospitals. Everybody in this country knows what's been happening in New York City's 15,000 teachers laid off.
Yet, do you believe they gave Ford the biggest reception he's had on the campaign here in New York City, the guy that told this town to drop dead a year ago?
Let me continue.
Yes, sir.
Because this is really important. They say they can't balance the budget. $2 billion of the New York City budget is tax-free payments on bonds. Now, I say a very simple thing. Let's not give any more money to people making over $40,000 a year, because we've got 26 million people living in poverty. We have people in this city that don't even have work. We have these teachers. We're closing schools, hospitals. We're the 29th country in the world for hospital beds. We're closing hospitals. Now, suppose the people in New York City could vote for the Socialist Workers Party proposal. We don't pay the rich. By the way, we would save almost the entire $2 billion if we didn't give it to people over 40%. If you read Lundberg's book, the richest 1.6% own 100% of municipal bonds. So let's say we didn't do that. We propose it. We don't pay the $2 billion to the rich, put the people back to work, reopen the schools, reopen the hospital, fire department, sanitation department, etc. But we have the Democrats and Republicans' proposal. Pay the rich $2 billion, keep people out of work, keep the schools closed, keep the hospital. Now, who do you think represents the majority of New York City? I say if we had that vote, Socialist Workers Party represents the majority. I say the Democrats and Republicans are a fringe group, because only a fringe group in this country favor giving another $1 million in our taxes to Rockefeller and doing what they just did in New York. They make five-year-olds walk to school. And that's the real issue in this campaign. Human needs are profits. Corporate profits are going to be the highest ever this year, Tom. Highest ever. While our standard of living is going down. And I think the Democrats and Republicans have clearly revealed themselves to be parties that defend the corporate interest, not the working class. That's the issue. And so if you vote Socialist Workers Party, you're voting to tell the millions of people who are thinking, like maybe, I don't know if I can say you and me, but certainly you and me out there, the millions who are thinking like this, that the time has come for a new party, a mass party of labor, that they're not alone. That's why we urge people to vote Socialist Workers.
But the people who make the profits will tell you that they are necessary to expand and create more jobs and upgrade the standard of living.
Well, the people who make profits will make any rationalization for why they have to have that $2 billion, including having children, not having schools to go to, waiting lists for kindergarten. They'll tell you anything, including that it's necessary to have the CIA overthrow democratic rights in Chile and put in a dictatorship, or to send $1 billion of military aid to fascism in Spain, because they're just after one thing, their profits. Well, I think we've got to go beyond this. I think we've got to start saying humans, beings, all of us count. And not just in this country, but throughout the world. The Vietnamese is just as much a human as us. And we got to look who went over there and napalmed them. It was Carter and Ford. And the time has come for us to say that's not the type of country we want to be. We don't want to be a country where there's 26 million people living in poverty while we're collecting taxes and giving $60 billion, city, federal, and state, in bond payments to the rich. The time has come to say no to that, to say no to the $150 billion war. Did you see that debate? The two of them began, I thought it was a poker game. They started betting. I'm going to spend more on war. No, you're not. I'm going to spend more. I want the greatest, the biggest. Then they got onto Panama. I'm going to take over Panama forever. Well, I'm going to have it all the time. And they had it. This they call a debate. And, you know, Carter gets up and makes this absurd statement. I'm going to negotiate like Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt didn't negotiate. He sent down the Navy. Panama didn't exist. He went down to set up the Navy, established Panama because the Senate had been bribed to move the canal from Nicaragua to Panama. That's what happened. Now, NBC didn't take him up and challenge him on the facts. He made a quote from Marx that Marx never made. He got up and said we had the highest inflation since the Depression. Depression, there was no inflation. We've always had higher inflation than Depression. Ford gets up and says, I went over to Russia, and I sat down with Brezhnev, and we made a peace agreement. We're only going to have 4,200 launchers, 1,320 MIRVs. That's multiple nuclear warheads. But nobody points out, we don't have 4,200, Tom. We have to build 120 more nuclear warheads to achieve the new low peace level. So what are they talking about? They're not bringing us peace. They're spending more on war today than they did in Vietnam. American people aren't for this. They're not for this. And if you pull the lever for Carter and Ford, I'll tell you, before this election's over, they're going to tell us they're neck and neck. They do it every time. They're going to say it's exactly 50-50. Your vote will decide. You're not deciding anything. Whether it's Carter or Ford, the same policies will be followed. If you vote Socialist Workers Party, that will have an impact. And one impact it'll have is what I want to talk about next, which I want you to ask me. But anyway, and that's about the way we're being harassed by the FBI.
You mean your party, the Socialist
Workers Party? Our party, all people who dissent in this country. That's another thing we ought to end. Carter Ford won't say a word about it. In those controlled debates, they pick the reporters who ask them the questions. So it's never brought up. But right now, there are 66 FBI agents in my campaign committee. The government admitted this in court. I mean, it's not my claiming. This is a fact. I'm being Watergate. My party's legal. The FBI admitted before the Senate, before Congress, and in the courts that we have not violated the law. They've investigated us 38 years, Tom. They haven't found us to violate the law yet. I can't say that about Democrats or Republicans. We're a completely legal party. So why do they do this? Because we dissent. They did it to Martin Luther King. They did it to the women's movement. They're doing it to the women's movement. I've asked Carter, I've written to Ford, I've asked them both to take a public stand and say, no, look, the socialists have a right to have their party to run without harassment. Neither of them will say a word. And I think that tells you where the Bill of Rights stands. This is the year, the bicentennial. And who's been fighting to defend the First Amendment, the right of association? The Socialist Workers Party, our suit against the federal government, saying this type of thing must end. This harassment of individuals because of their political views. And it's happening right at this moment. We're going right up to the election November 2nd with me as a legitimate candidate. 600,000 people have signed to place me on the ballot. I'm on the ballot out of the 538 electoral votes for 373. That is enough to win the election. I'm not going to win. Everybody knows that. But the point is I'm making a legitimate effort to say to the American people, here's an alternative. Vote for it. And not only are we denied equal time to be heard in the debates, the Supreme Court just refused to hear our case. But on top of that, the government is trying to destroy my party. And the American people have the right to know that, and I know the majority of the American people oppose that. I know you do.
Mm-hmm. I do oppose that.
I know you do.
Just as I oppose what they're trying to do to Harry Reams, the movie actor,
yes,
and
yes.
What they're trying to do to the fellow from, who am I talking about here? Screw Magazine. Al Goldstein, they got him on a federal case. They're trying out in Missouri somewhere when it's published here in New York. You're absolutely correct. They should not do that.
Yes, well, I think that in this case, I hope that you'll endorse our suit then. I'd be very proud to add your name to our very large list of sponsors, labor, Congress people, all types of people. So I believe that you will stand up for what you just said, Tom, and endorse us so that...
Well, when I have had the opportunity to read...
Oh, of course. No, listen, I'm not... Yes, I'm just...
not throwing old Tom the sandbag.
I'm just setting you up. But that kind of,
all right, the old setup.
I'll trust that when you read it, we don't ask you to agree with us on anything. But just that we should be allowed to exist without this type of harassment.
If they have 66 FBI agents on your campaign staff, that's wrong.
Right.
If they're infiltrating your organization, that's wrong.
Well,
if they're trying to put you out of business when you are conducting yourselves within the framework of the laws of this country and presenting ideas to the American people, that's wrong. And if that's what your lawsuit's about, you got it.
Okay. Let me just tell people that we got
a whole book. Let me do this little commercial here, and then we'll come back.
I'll do mine later.
And you will have the long commercial.
Okay.
What do you do for a job, if I'm not being...
I'm a socialist.
And that's it?
Full time. Oh, you can't... Are you kidding? I've lost 25 pounds just running this. I've been gone for 22 months. I've been campaigning longer than Carter. And he claims he campaigned the longest.
Have you ever thought about being a comedy writer or doing stand-up?
Well, you can offer me a job after the election if I don't win. I'll offer you a job if I win.
All right, I'll offer your press secretary. We will continue after these announcements with Mr. Peter Camejo. I hope you'll stay with us. I know you will. You're now with Peter Camejo, and we are now ready for the billboard, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I just want to urge people who want to find out in depth what the Socialist Workers Party platform is, who want to know about our suit. We have a whole book published about what the FBI has been doing to us. This costs $2.95. We also have an entire book called Prospects for Socialism, which tells us the platform of the Socialist Workers Party. But I want to show you over here, I have my little ad here, that you can get free from us if you write to us. That's 14 Charles Lane. You see it down there? Let me not move it so you can memorize it.
Look at how it looks on the screen. Doesn't it look at it right over here. Isn't that beautiful?
Looks very nice. Well, here you go.
Fabulous.
Right up there, you get the Bill of Rights for Working People. That's our platform. And you get the Jimmy Carter fact sheet. And you get a copy of our weekly paper, The Militant, for free. And let me urge everybody who's listening to send us lots of money. I want it. We need money. Carter gets financed by the government. We have to get it from you. So send us money, and if you send us any donation of over $1, we'll send you a subscription, a trial subscription to our paper, so you can get the type of figures and facts I've been talking about here, which you haven't heard of otherwise.
Are these contributions tax deductible?
I believe. I don't know.
What a great answer.
I really don't know.
Okay.
I was about to say I believe so, but I'm not sure.
But lots of money is what you're after. Right?
Yes, in other words, people up to 1,000. You can't send us over 1,000. If you send us over 1,000, we have to return some of it. But send us 1,000. That'd be very good.
Now, like when you're campaigning, do you have a big plane that you fly around in, like Carter and Ford and all kinds of security? Do you have a Secret Service protection or anything?
No, only Democrats and Republicans get the financing, the Secret Service. Like to get on the ballot in California, a Democrat gets on with 65 signatures. We need 99,284. This is what they call, free elections. No, I think, for instance, the real issues in this campaign, we've been discussing some of them in a loose manner here, but I think some of them are deadly serious, like the problem of busing. Now, polls show the majority of white people in this country are opposed to busing. But in Boston, what they don't tell you is there always was busing, always. But busing used to be to maintain segregation. The black children you see being stoned, Tom, many of them come from 6 blocks away from South Boston High School. They're only in buses for protection. That's their neighborhood school, but they weren't allowed to go before. The NAACP has very courageously fought all over this country to try to get black children equal rights. And I defend and support the NAACP's effort. Carter and Ford, they both got up and said in Boston, I'm against busing. Why weren't they against busing when it was used for segregation? Not one word. They only come out against busing when it's for integration, to give a black child an equal opportunity for education. These men, they talk about education. They don't talk about education, let's face it. They're cutting it back all over the country. We need bilingual, bicultural. In foreign policy, I think we should give Panama to the Panamanian people, independence for Puerto Rico, get our troops out of Cuba.
Now, wait a minute. Why do so many people in Puerto Rico vote to maintain the alliance, Commonwealth status with the United States, and the PIP, the Puerto Rican Independence Party, is 5% of the vote?
Because, when you have a country that's militarily occupied by another, which all their corporations are owned by another country, when their entire media is owned by another country, then you can hold all the elections you want, and you can get very odd votes. I think that if you want to see whether the Puerto Rican people want independence or not, first get the United States Army out of there, let the people there have a free discussion, and you got to remember every time they had, like the vote in 48 and 49, every time people voted for what they thought would give them more independence. In fact, Puerto Rico is a country in the Olympics, so the world recognizes it as being really a separate country. But anyway, I think that the whole question of our foreign policy, to South Africa. We're complicit. Kissinger, he says he's for majority rule in Rhodesia. Why wasn't he for majority rule 2 years ago? Why the sudden interest? I'll tell you why. Because they're going to have majority rule. That's why.
It was going to blow up.
It's going to blow up means, that's a trick word. It's not going to blow up. The people are going to fight for their liberation. He says there's going to be a race war. There's been a race war there for 200 years, except the other side now finally has some arms. That's the difference. And why doesn't he ever call for majority rule in South Africa? The majority of American people aren't for this. Whether it's Carter or Ford, they're going to continue the same policies of buying the chrome from what the country's name is Zimbabwe. They call it Rhodesia because that's the racist name for it. Neither of them will call for majority rule in South Africa. They will not call for universal franchise. you know, he's very tricky, Kissinger. He only says majority rule, which can be a, it can just mean a cabinet of 13, 7 black. He wants to put a black face on a white government. That's what he's doing to keep the same situation. I think the American people are really sick and tired of these type of duplicity. We've been lied to about what busing is, the truth. The real question is integration. We've been misinformed about the real needs of working people. We can put everybody to work. Everyone in this country could have a job. And there's just no need to have 26 million people living in poverty. And we don't have to have the FBI chasing our citizens and harassing them. And if you want to vote for these things, vote Socialist Workers Party in 76. I believe in all points being heard. I believe in civil liberties, whether they be in the Soviet Union, Spain, or Chile. And the only thing is, I call Carter and Ford a hypocrite when they talk about totalitarianism in Russia and then finance it in Spain and Iran and in Argentina and everywhere, and even in the Middle East, where the Palestinians are being massacred at this moment, and their whole debate did not one word to say for the Palestinian people.
Mr. Camejo, the time has really and truly run out, and it's gone by very rapidly for me and for the audience, and I thank you for coming on here. It's been most interesting to hear you. And maybe after the election, when all this equal time thing is over, you'll come back and we'll just shoot the breeze for a while, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Mr. Peter Camejo, candidate for presidency of the United States. Be right back after this announcement.